Many thanks for joining us. An increasing number of Americans disapprove of President Barack Obama over unemployment in the U.S. economy. That's according to a new Reuters Ipsos poll. About 72% of the polled Americans say they are worried about joblessness. 67% also say they are very concerned about government spending. The survey comes ahead of the congressional midterm elections in November. The U.S. unemployment rate of 9.5% and the huge budget deficit are dragging down the Democrats. Obama's popularity is deteriorating at a rapid pace, only 20 months after taking office. This comes as more negative economic data surfaced on Tuesday. The statistics showed that sales of existing homes plummeted to the slowest pace in 15 years last month. Former U.S. Senator Mike Gravel says public disapproval of President Barack Obama is a real testimony of the intelligence of the American people.
Well, this is pretty normal that a sitting president would be not all that popular, going into the midterms, which are not expected to be very positive for the Democrats. But there's another factor, too. It is testimony to the intelligence of the American people that they're beginning to see through his rhetoric. He could make a wonderful speech about solutions, but then the facts on the ground do not bear out the speech that he made. And so that awareness is contributing to his lack of popularity, along with the other historic situation of midterm elections.
U.S. shares have plunged amid growing fears about the recovery of the world's biggest economy. The Dow Jones Industrial Average was down around 130 points at closing on Tuesday. Meanwhile, the Nasdaq also slipped more than 35 points. Investors lost confidence after a report showed a massive drop in existing home sales in the U.S. last month. The National Association of Realtors says home sales plunged over 27% in July. U.S. markets have been hit by a series of bad news about the American economy during the past few weeks. The U.S. Marine Corps says U.S. forces should stay in Afghanistan for years to come.
General James Conway claims that Afghan forces are not ready to take over security in the southern provinces. Conway says President Barack Obama's proposal to start withdrawing troops by July 2011 will only empower militants. Conway says it gives militants in the war-torn country sustenance. The general also acknowledged the declining public support for the unpopular war. His comments were the latest sign from U.S. military leaders that a major troop withdrawal remained a long way off, this despite a July 2011 deadline set by Obama.
Two foreign troops, including an American, have been killed in southern Afghanistan. The American soldier was killed by an improvised explosive device. The second troop, whose nationality was not disclosed, was killed in fighting against Taliban militants. The latest deaths bring to 458 the number of international soldiers killed in the Afghan war so far this year. Earlier in the day, three U.S. troops were wounded in the central Afghan province of Logar in a roadside bomb attack. The Taliban claimed responsibility for the attack. The militants said two of the soldiers were killed in the incident and two others injured.
Well, sadly, a passenger plane has overshot the runway in northeastern China, leaving 43 people dead. Some 50 others have been injured and transferred to hospital. The aircraft burst into flames while trying to land in the city of Yichun in China's Heilongjiang province. Over 90 people were on board the plane when the incident happened. The Embraer EO-190 jet had taken off from the provincial capital of Harbin an hour before the accident. Rescuers and firefighters are now on the scene helping the survivors.
Israel has ordered the destruction of two newly built Palestinian mosques in the West Bank. The order has angered Palestinians, especially as it comes during the holy month of Ramadan.
On Monday, the Israeli military handed out the demolition orders of a mosque in a refugee camp in Ramallah and another one in the southern village of Gurin. Israel claims the mosques were built without a building permit. Palestinian officials have condemned the decision and described it as provocative and illegal. The Palestinian Ministry of Information announced that the decision to demolish the mosque is in violation of the Palestinians' freedom to worship. The ministry says it is an act of religious terrorism that contradicts international law. Palestinians demand the international community and the United Nations block the Israelis from this action and protect the two holy sites. They say this is not the first time that the Israelis have targeted Muslim holy sites.
Now, this is not the first incident. Let me talk here about two points. One point, the demolitions in the West Bank are not a new thing. Israel is taking decisions almost every week during every Israeli cabinet meeting against Palestinian houses, mainly in the Jordan Valley. The other point is the targeting of the Palestinian mosques. This is not the first time that Israel targets. First of all, we can remember last year the targeting of by the Israeli settlers, the violence that was targeting the Palestinian mosques, the burning of the mosques, particularly in the north of the West Bank.
But what lies behind such moves? What are the Israelis looking for?
As the experts say, it's an Israeli attempt to convert the conflict from a political conflict into a religious conflict from one side. The other side, it's an Israeli attempt to increase pressure on the Palestinian Authority to accept resuming the so-called peace negotiations, that is, face-to-face negotiations in Washington next month without setting any kind of preconditions.
An Arab League official has warned of Judaization of Jerusalem al-Quds. Mohammed Sobih says the situation in Jerusalem is serious in light of continued Israeli measures to Judaize the city. The Arab League's Assistant Secretary General has warned that Israel is taking open steps to Judaize Jerusalem al-Quds by 2020. He called for immediate action against such Israeli acts. The Israeli measures include excavations and the demolition of nearly 20,000 Palestinian homes, as well as the expulsion of Palestinian leaders and citizens.
2:42 a.m. is our time in Tehran, and a reminder of this hour's top stories. The latest opinion poll shows more Americans disapprove of President Barack Obama. Wall Street slumps amid growing fears for the recovery of the world's biggest economy. As you've been hearing, China recovers 43 bodies from the wreckage of a plane that crashed in its northeast.
Still to come here on Press TV, strikes in South Africa. Iranian President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad has met with Kuwait's special envoy to Tehran. Ahmadinejad and Mohammed Abdullah Abdul Hassan agreed to boost bilateral relations. Iran's president referred to Iran and Kuwait's common cultural and historical background, saying there is absolute confidence in bilateral ties. Meanwhile, Abdul Hassan stressed Iran's critical role in solving regional issues. He called for more cooperation in different sectors between the two countries. Abdul Hassan also met with Iranian Foreign Minister Manoush Mottaki during his visit to Tehran.
The Pentagon wants the Pakistani government to stop militants from helping victims of the floods in Pakistan. Press TV's Javed Rana has the details from Islamabad.
The U.S. General James Mattis is on his first visit to Pakistan after replacing General David Petraeus as commander of Central Command. Before meeting with Pakistani leaders, General Mattis visited flood-affected areas to have the first-hand information about what many see here, the impact of the worst-ever flood in Pakistan on the U.S. geostrategic plans in the region. His visit is aimed at reviewing the ongoing U.S. assistance to relief efforts and discussing areas where the Pentagon may be able to support Pakistan further. But the Taliban still figure high in his agenda. The $157 million U.S. aid is believed to be linked with cracking down banned militant outfits operating in parts of disaster-hit areas to provide relief to people. Pakistan has assured the U.S. that the Taliban-linked groups would be neutralized.
Not allow any band, any illegal organization, any terrorist organization to act and to take advantage of the situation. We, as a nation, and we as a government are quite capable. Inshallah, federal, provincial government, all our allied forces, all our organs will be used, the civil society, the media, whole the Pakistani nation is on this path. And we, with the support of the world, we will fight it out.
The sheer scale of natural catastrophe has spread over 24% territory of Pakistan, a size roughly equal to Britain, something that is helping pro-militant groups to participate in the relief work.
I don't think in such testing times, instructions like preventing these organizations from operation in the flood-affected areas are realistic anyway, just because the government machinery is limited, the catastrophe is overwhelming, and I don't think that they can really get such orders implemented. And that's why I think you see a lot of these organizations operating in the field.
Political observers point out that Pakistan is exaggerating the threats of Taliban's exploiting flood-affected people for possibly recruiting youngsters for attack against NATO troops across Pak-Afghan border. They say this strategy has helped Pakistan to get pledges of over $800 million from international community after the humanitarian crisis was discussed in the UN General Assembly last week. Javed Rana, Press TV, Islamabad.
South Africa is bracing itself for more intense strike as the government refuses to engage in negotiations on workers' demands.
Week two now of South Africa's public servant strike, and both the government and unions remain uncompromising in their stance on the situation. The government says negotiations are over and it will unilaterally impose its 7% wage increase. But unions say they will not be intimidated. They have already reduced their demand from 11.5% to 8.6%.
These ministers do not necessarily understand what it means to get a wage increase for poorly paid public sector workers. These workers, that 8.6 is not even going to change much, but because they live from hand to mouth, on a daily basis, these workers are worried about paying their bills. Of course, we know that ministers do not have that challenge because they are driving 1 million rand luxury cars and they are sleeping in hotels, spending thousands and thousands of rand.
The strike has effectively shut down the majority of public schools, and now the final examinations for the country's matriculants might also have to be delayed. Hospitals are also feeling the pressure. The army has been deployed at over 30 medical facilities across the country, not to provide security, but to offer medical assistance. Volunteers from the public are also being relied on. Despite the strain, Public Services and Administration Minister Richard Baloyi says the state has gone out of its way to be transparent and there simply is no money to improve workers' wages.
Government does have money. The problem is that they don't have priorities. This is the same government that not long ago proved the whole world wrong by spending 32 billion in a soccer tournament that lasted a month, 30-day soccer tournament, 32 billion rand was spent. So where are government's priorities?
President Jacob Zuma is on a state visit to China to negotiate better trade deals, while workers here are angry. Unions say there is a lack of leadership from government. The government's adamant and sometimes heavy-handed approach during the strike has not only angered workers but also made them more resolute. The message is clear, we will not back down. And now workers are planning a day of mass action on Thursday in which they could include members from other unions as well, effectively possibly bringing the country to a standstill. Austin City Press TV, Johannesburg.
All the W's.PressTV.ir.